Kitagiri Sutta, advice given at Kitagiri. This discourse appears in middle length sayings. I heard thus: at one time the Blessed One was touring Kashmir with a large community of bhikkhus. Then the Blessed One addressed those bhikkhus: "Bhikkhus, I refrain from food at night and experience few illnesses, lightness, power, and a pleasant living. Come, bhikkhu, you too refrain from food at night and experience few afflictions, few illnesses, lightness, power, and a pleasant abiding." Those bhikkhus agreed. Then the Blessed One, touring in stages, arrived in a hamlet named Kitagiri in Kashmir. At that time, a bhikkhu named Assaji Punappasuka was resident at Kitagiri. Then many bhikkhus approached the bhikkhu Assaji and said thus: "Friend, the Blessed One and the community of bhikkhus refrain from food at night and experience few afflictions, few illnesses, lightness, power, and a pleasant living. Come, bhikkhu, you too refrain from food at night time and experience this illnesses, lightness, power, pleasant abiding." When this was said, the bhikkhu Assaji said thus to the bhikkhus, those bhikkhus: "Friend, we partake food in the evening, early in the morning, during the day, and at untimely hours. Partaking in this manner, we experience few afflictions, few illnesses, lightness, power, and a pleasant abiding. Why should we give up what we experience here and now and go after new experiences?" So those bhikkhus used to eat all the time, by that time. And you can remember that there were some issues by bhikkhus going for alms round at night time, and certain issues occurred as well. Those bhikkhus, not able to convince the bhikkhu Assaji, approached the Blessed One, worshipped, sat on a site, and said to the Blessed One, "Venerable Sir, we approached the bhikkhu Assaji and said to him, 'Friend, the Blessed One and the community of bhikkhus refrain from food at night and experience few afflictions, few illnesses, lightness, power, and a pleasant living. Bhikkhu, you too refrain from food at night and experience few afflictions, few illnesses.'" So they informed that he is actually telling the other way around and not abiding. So then Buddha addressed one bhikkhu and asked call that bhikkhu Assaji. And then when he was questioned, he said, "Yes, I'm of that that view that I said this one." "Bhikkhu, do you know this teaching preached by me? Whatever this person feels, pleasant, unpleasant, neither unpleasant, no pleasant feelings, to him there is increase," and there is a mistake in that translation, there is not decrease and increase, this there is increase of skill states, that moral states probably you have seen in your one as the merits. Merits is not a good word over there. It is skill states, kusal, skill state of mind, and unskilled state of mind. That is the declining of unskilled state of mind, and increase of skill states of mind. So then they said that, "No, Venerable Sir, we do not know this." So that is either kind of feeling, whether it is a pleasurable, displeasure, or neutral feeling, that when you abide, whether it is the increase of skill states and unskilled state, that it is not that case. "Bhikkhu, do you know this teaching preached by me? When a person experiences a certain kind of pleasant feeling, unskilled state of mind increases, skill state of mind decreases. When a person experiences a certain kind of pleasant feeling, unskilled state of mind decreases, skill state of mind increases." So that you see, the kusal or the skill state of mind, for a certain kind of feeling that we abide, that the skill states declining, and in there is a case where the skill states are improving and developing. That is that jhana state, concentration, the skill states are increasing. But the sensual desires, ill will, those ones decreases the, those feelings decreases the skill state of the mind, that they increase the unskilled state of the mind. When a person experiences a certain kind of unpleasant feeling, unskilled state of mind increases. Skill state of mind decreases. When a person experiences a certain kind of unpleasant feeling, unskilled state of mind decreases. Skill state of mind increases. When a person experiences a certain kind of neither unpleasant nor pleasant feeling, unskilled state of mind increases. Skill state of mind decreases. When a person experiences a certain kind of neither pleasurable nor unpleasurable feeling, unskilled state of mind decreases. Skill state of mind increases. Yes, we know it, Venerable Sir. Bhikkhu, good that you have understood it. If I had not known, seen, experienced, realized it, and mentally touched, a certain person experienced such a kind of peace and feeling, increase unskilled state of mind and decrease skilled state of mind, not knowing it, I would have said, give up that kind of peace and feeling, yet to a person like me, is it suitable to do so? No, Venerable Sir. So Buddha is saying that I am. If I do not know, if I have not understood that one, then saying that one is not a suitable thing. That since I know that I am telling these things. Now, since because I have known, seen, experienced, realized, and mentally touched a certain person experience such a kind of pleasant feeling, increase unskilled state of mind and decrease skilled state of mind, I say dispel such a kind of pleasant feeling. If I had not known, not seen, experienced, realized it, and mentally touched a certain person experience such a kind of pleasant feeling, decrease unskilled state of mind and increase merit, increase this skilled state of mind, not knowing, I would have said, pursue that kind of pleasant feeling. Yet to a person like me, is it suitable? No, Venerable Sir. Since because I have known, seen, experienced, realized, and mentally touched, a certain person experienced such a kind of pleasant feeling, decrease unskilled state of mind and increase skilled state of mind, I say, pursue such kind of pleasant feeling. So, whatever thing that, you know, that the skill state of the mind, kusala, go to increase, and Buddha know these sort of feelings are bad, and this sort of feelings are conducive to increase the skill state of mind. So therefore, Buddha is saying that follow those things. Whatever thing that the unskilled state or akusal increase, Buddha is saying don't follow them. Don't go after them. And so Buddha repeated the same thing for the unpleasant feeling. And neither unpleasant nor pleasant feeling as well. And you can, I don't know if you remember that there was this discourse in Salayatana Vibhanga Sutta. Basically, there are three kind of feeling for a householder. For a householder, there is this pleasurable feeling, displeasure feeling, and neutral feeling. And there is this renunciation, also the same person, let's say he is now sitting down for a meditation. So at that particular time also he got three kind of feeling, pleasure, displeasure, and the neutral feeling. So what is this normal person, householder normally troubling with is that I would get sort of a displeasure if I, you know, my car is broke down, or my house, you know, fall apart, or certain things that I lose some money or things like that. And a monk or the same person in the meditation time, he also got a displeasure. What is his displeasure? His displeasure is that he is thinking that I am, you know, practicing for the attainment, but I have not attained it. And those monks who are arahants, now they are, you know, they abide in ease, and when I would be able to attain it. So there is this householder's displeasure, you know, so the renunciation displeasure. So anyone doing the meditation also got the same kind of thing. So Buddha normally say that the householder's displeasure is not worth, give it up. And the renunciation displeasure is better. It is a skill state. Although it's a it's a displeasure. It is the skill state, akusal, not akusal. So you can see that rather than worrying about I lost $10, and if I am thinking when I would be attaining, that would be a better one. So because of that, you give up. So those things you can see immediately. The householder's one replaced by the skill state one, that is this renunciation one, would be a better thing. Similarly, we have the pressure, the household pressure, when we get something. And the renunciation also there is pressure, but by that, by meditating, you know, the contemplating impermanent nature, suffering nature, for the same objects that you have lost or whatever thing it is, then they go into the rapture, pleasure, you know, the jhana concentration. So Buddha is telling that give up the householder's pressure and use the renunciation pleasure, because it's much more valuable. So similarly, the equanimity, this one is going in detail, that that equanimity part also, that household, if I'm sitting down in a sort of a chair which is neither comfortable nor uncomfortable, then you can see that I have some sort of equanimity feeling regarding this chair. But there is this ignorance part, that I do not know that every chair is of this nature, this every chair is going to be broken down, or you know, the impermanent nature. So that neutral feeling does not exceed that chair. That equanimity does not exceed that chair. It's not generalized to the every chair. So every object. The renunciation one, that there is this equanimity where one would contemplate that impermanent nature, suffering nature. Therefore, it's applicable to everything, and that is much more refined version and better version. So Buddha said, give up the householder's equanimity because of the renunciation equanimity. So renunciation equanimity develop the skill state of the mind and decline in the unskilled state of the mind. And Buddha does not stop it over there. Buddha is going to asking one to go into a concentrations, that higher concentrations. And reaching the high concentration, neither perception nor non-perception level as well. And Buddha said that, and then Buddha sent that person to the cessation of feeling and perception as well, to that level. And Buddha said that all these things eventually is constructed, give up all of them, because that Nibbana is the unconstructed one. So, you see, the feeling is going up to that level. It is where it can stop, Buddha's method of teaching, where it can stop, is only the Nibbana. Anything else is all constructed and they are impermanent. So now in this particular case, Buddha was talking about the food, asking the monks not to take the food at night time, because it is not conducive to, I mean, you can see that one would feel sleepy and all those things, and the health and those things. And having said this one, Buddha said, Bhikkhu, I do not ask all bhikkhus to abide diligently. Neither do I ask all bhikkhus not to abide diligently. This is appamada. Buddha is talking about appamada. Appamada means that if you know about this Dhatu Vibhanga Sutta, Buddha said that prajñāvai appamada, that is that the do not neglect in wisdom, prajna. So over there, what Buddha is telling is there are these six elements. That is this element of extension, element of heat, element of motion, and element of cohesion. Those are the four elements. And then there is the space element and the consciousness element. So Buddha said over there that this element of extension is over here, and the element of extension, whatever hard in the body and whatever hard outside the world, is also the element of extension. So having perceived these things, then one would think that this is the element of extension, like, you know, that whatever thing I have over here in the bone and the bone outside is the same. So that bone outside is not mine, and similarly this bone over here is not mine. So applying that principle for the hard things, and then the liquid things, and then the whatever thing that has motion, we got in the body, the eyes, this air going upward, downward. And also the heat inside the body, heat outside the body, you know, the bushfires and all those things, that heat is not mine and this is also not mine. So he cleanses his mind from those ones and then he go into the concentration that his mind become very pure. So he is now regarding this space is infinite. So he's not paying any attention to anything on earth, any material. Think about it. This, you know, if I eliminate everything hard on this body and the outside, and on earth, and in sun, moon, and whatever thing it is, so I remove 1/4 of whatever thing it is, although they are inseparable. And then I got rid of the liquid part. Wherever in the world, I pay no attention to it. So what are we paying attention to then? Think about it. If you are not paying attention to anything hard, anything liquid, anything that moves, anything that has got the heat, is there anything you can actually think other than the space? There's nothing left, only the space. So he is now paying attention to the space. That space is infinite, not paying attention to anything on the body or the outside, any material thing. So that Buddha said at that time his mind is so pure, and then he is applying that phenomena for a long time. Space is infinite. So how do you pursue the space is infinite? You pursue the space is infinite from the mind. Like that, if I say this carpet is extending from that one to the up to that one, whenever I think about it, I think about the length of this carpet, right? Let's say this carpet is infinite. Having known for a long time that this carpet is infinite, then I don't need the carpet to have the infinity. The consciousness is, this consciousness is now aware that this one is infinite. So I maintain that infinity in my mind without that object called carpet. Likewise, I can maintain that this thing is infinite without the space as the thing to measure it. So he's maintaining that the space is infinite, and without the space, that means he's exceeding that one. He is attaining the consciousness is infinite level. All these states, what we have is actually the feeling. That's the significant thing. So in the consciousness is infinite, then he knows that I can maintain this one for a long time. But from this consciousness, what I know is feeling. I know pleasure, I know displeasure, I know neither pleasurable nor pleasure, non-pleasurable. So when you maintain that one for a long time and then you see that I have this equanimity, that mostly he has got the equanimity, not the pleasure and that one. And he knows that this feeling is constructed. Constructed out of what? You know, like two fire sticks, when they rub it together, that the heat arises. And then when we separate that one, that heat disappears. Similarly, that the feeling is depending on the contact. If the contact ceases, feeling ceases. So he cleanses his mind from that feeling as well. So he is actually going beyond the consciousness, his infinite level. So if there are six elements, that is, element of extension, element of cohesion, element of motion, and element of heat, the space element, and the consciousness element. If there are six elements, and if you got rid of those six elements, what is left? There is nothing. So he reached plane of nothing, no thing. That is the seventh jhana concentration. So this one continues this way. And so every time you can see that he disregards one element at a time. These elements are not there. And then and at the level of the seventh jhana, there he is actually maintaining that there is nothing. But there is perception. He is perceiving there is nothing.
This is about the body, isn't it, mainly?
No. It's the body part you got rid of when you get into the four elements. And then you are actually getting rid of the mental parts. That is the nama, this is the feeling. And then at the seventh jhana concentration level, you are maintaining that there is a perception within me. Now that's it, that is present, that there is no thing, nothing. I'm perceiving it. And he does not want the perception either. So he gets rid of the perception. I don't want the perception, because perception is also constructed. So when he gets to the perception, then he reaches the neither perception nor non-perception level. Because it's very hard to get rid of it in that sense. So he's reaching that one. There he remains. The remainder of the volitional formation is the construction over there. The consciousness is constructed once, then it is there and he attain it and they get out of it after some time. And so this, he applying this phenomena that these things are all constructed is not mine. So that is actually the prajnana pamajjati. He's not neglecting on the wisdom. So here Buddha is saying, don't neglect. What he meant by is that whatever thing it is not yours, you need to get rid of that one.
Can we do that during meditation time only? Because we see that it's difficult to maintain that position throughout. Only during meditation time can we maintain that?
You can meditate that on that time.
Do that thinking about it or just concentrating?
No, you have to get, you should be very careful. You need to develop the skills first. You see, when I say that this whatever hard inside my body is not mine, whatever hard outside is not mine, so you need to apply it thoroughly. If I leave one element in my mind that this car is not mine, that car is not mine, but that car is mine sort of thing, then I have left something. I have not exceeded it. Buddha said it's something like this, you take a, harakan thing. You get those pigs and 100 pigs and pull it in every direction. So you can get the very fine, refined skin like this rabana thing. So no bends or no wrinkles or something like that. Likewise, this on earth, there is this gullies, valleys and all those things, the places go up, down and that one. When you are cleansing your mind, that is that this thing is not mine, so you are removing from your mind all those gullies, valleys and all those things. Not maintaining anything else other than the element of extension, that the hardness. Element of extension is the property is the hardness or softness. So, you can see the gullies, valleys and everywhere is just the hardness. So, I am removing the hardness from the whole world, from my mind. I am not clinging to that particular property. So, you can see that mind becomes vast. Because if you try to apply to mind that I am getting rid of the chair, I am getting rid of the carpet, I am getting that one. So, you can see that these are infinite objects. But you get the abstraction that every object has got this element of extension, that is the hardness or the softness. So then I don't have to spell out this carpet, this one and so on. So I'm getting rid of that, the element of extension property.
So by getting rid of it in life,
I'm not paying attention.
So you're not attached to it?
Yeah. You're not thinking about it. Because if it is not mine, now think about the useless object. First you need to apply this one to useless object, that is less significant object. Like urine, excreta, the outside. But we are not paying any attention to that one. So that is not mine, then whatever thing inside also the same nature, it is not mine. So always use the insignificant object and apply to the significant object. When you take your body, you find that these things are significant. The outside ones, that it's not. So having applied to that one, then apply back to this one. So completely, so at the end, you did not actually get rid of the object as it is, but you are not paying any attention because you are not actually giving any value to it. So at that time of meditation, so when you do that one, practice this one, this is really nice. Anyone can do this one. You've got to be in skill state of doing that one. Make a practice habit of it. You can see one can actually go there.
So it is that when, before you come to this stage, you pass that four beta elements, this meditation of these things. So when you practice those things, so when you come to this stage, so you can maintain your concentration on things.
Yes, because as soon as you pay attention to any of the material things, then you are back to square one. That means scale one. I am not saying actually scale one. You are, whenever you pay attention to the material things, then your mind is taken out of the spaces in finite level. Because you are now contemplating about, what about my car, what about these things, what about my body and so on. Your skull sort of become expanded. You don't feel the skull at that time. So therefore you are out of this world sort of thing. And I can tell more about this, I said this one before as well. It's like that, let's say you are in a mountain slope, and two people are here, and then one is climbing the mountain. You go far away, and this person at the beginning, both his features or whatever thing it is, was significant. You can see the hair and all those things. When you go far away to the top of the mountain, you can see this person is tiny little, and you don't see these features, the hair and the body and all those things, and now you are seeing that you find that one is insignificant. And then you go far away, that is out of the earth. Let's say you are in a star or somewhere, imagine yourself posted in that particular position, and you are looking at the earth. How do you see the earth? If you go to a star and if you look at the earth, earth is tiny little. So what about the human beings that you were so associated with them before, and are they significant? Not even the house. You know, the house is bigger by size, but when you go over there, earth is small and everything is small. So there you can see at that particular point of the mind, you can see this is insignificant. So whatever thing is insignificant, I can get rid of. So that's another way to get rid of this one. This is actually I heard from an Arahant in Akanita Brahma realm, that about this earth part, that how to think about this. I'm grateful for that. So you go into those higher planes and get rid of the significant nature of these things, and make the mind become expanded. To those bhikkhus who are perfect, have destroyed desires, live the holy life, done what should be done, have put down the way, have come to the highest good, have destroyed the bonds to be, and released rightfully knowing, to such bhikkhu I do not say, abide diligently. What is the reason? They have done what should be done diligently, and it is impossible that they should be negligent. So there Buddha is talking about the Arahants. They don't have any desires. They have destroyed. The Buddha is saying, don't be negligent, because they have already got rid of those things. Bhikkhu, as for those trainers, not yet attained to the highest end of the yoga, and abiding, aiming it, to such bhikkhus I say, abide diligently. What is the reason? These venerable ones, partaking of suitable dwellings, associating good friends, and with the development of their faculties, for whatever reason, these sons of clansmen left the household and became homeless, that highest end of the holy life, they hear and now realize and abide, because seeing these results of diligence, I tell these bhikkhus to be diligent. Because there are seven persons evident in the world. What seven? Those recluse are released both ways, released through wisdom, those with body witness, those come to righteousness of view, those released in faith, those living according to the teaching, and those living according to faith. So the first one is bhikkhu who is released both ways. Here bhikkhu, a certain person, experiences with the body those immaterial attainment, and also with wisdom sees the destruction of desires. To such one is said released both ways. Bhikkhu, to such ones I do not say abide diligently. What is the reason? They have done it diligently, and it is impossible that they be negligent. So we are talking about the release here. So Buddha said that in this particular one, the release by both ways, by wisdom as well as by attaining those spheres. See, we just discuss one where that one is actually going into this space is infinite, consciousness is infinite, and getting rid of that one, they reach the plane of nothing. So that is also a release. And this Patisambhida Manga talk about that liberations. There are three liberations. Bhikkhu, there are these three liberations. What three? Liberation by voidness, liberation by signness, liberation by desires. These bhikkhu are three liberations. And there are other 68 liberations as well. That liberations, for example, at the beginning we talk about that householder has got pleasure and there is this pleasure in the renunciation. That is also liberation. You go into the first jhana concentration, then you are liberated from the sensuous desire. So along the way, every concentration, jhana concentration is a kind of a liberation, but it is not a complete liberation at that time, not perfect in that sense. So we talk about three kind of liberations. There's the mundane ones and there are supramundane ones as well. So what is liberation by voidness? Here bhikkhu or bhikkhu go into the forest or to the root of a tree or to an empty place considers thus. This is void of self or of what belongs to self. He contrives no misinterpretation therein. Thus it is liberation by voidness. This is liberation by voidness. So what he does, he is going to the forest or the root of a tree. His Pali word is sunnamidam attenava attaniyenava. So he considers that this is void of self and this is void of what belongs to self. Now I am regarding this body is not self. This is this empty. This is empty of whatever the concept. We discussed this one before as well by using names. You can see that there is this, although I am calling this one Lalit, it's just a concept. My body is completely empty of that concept. Because had my parents put another name over here, well, it's a different name. So again, my parents didn't put me, this body, as I. I constructed it myself. So you can see that my body is empty of the concept called I. So you can see that at the beginning we talk about that we remove every material things, hard things, and then the soft things, and then the element of cohesion, all those things are not mine. If we disregard that way, so one would actually see that this whole thing is empty. So by contemplating that these things are not mine, that is the second one leading to this concentration level, that the seventh jhana level. Second one conducive to that one. First one is that going through those one attainment to another attainment from the jhana. The other one is by just simply disregarding these elements. Removing
so
from
when you think about also, it's true, isn't it? Because if you think that these the body is made out of the four elements, and then at the end, if you get rid of all these things, what you have is the concept is mine, and then at that time you realize that it is mine.
It's
I or mine. That's all what is left.
Yeah, and then you go beyond the mind as well, in the sense that mind perceive and then it perceive that there is nothing. This is also perception. And then you got rid of that one as well. So, by reaching the seventh jhana, whatever way that one has to reach the seventh jhana to have these liberations in that sense. So having reached there, and he continues no misinterpretation, that he is not considering that, well, these things are not mine, but that one is mine. No misinterpretation. So that is the voidness, shunyata, vimukta. And then what is liberation by signless? Again, he is going to that seventh jhana level. Here bhikkhu go into the forest or to the root of a tree or to an empty place, considers thus. This is void of self or what belongs to self. He contributes no sign therein. So what is the sign? Is there is no sign of permanency. Whatever thing it is, they are impermanent. So there is no sign of permanency. So that is called signless liberation. And what is liberation by desires? Here bhikkhu go on to the forest or to the root of a tree or to an empty place, considers that this is void of self or of what belongs to self. He contributes no desire therein. No desire means that there is no aspiration. Because if it is, what he is actually contemplating over here in this case is that it is suffering. Having seen the seventh jhana level, if you contemplate that it is not self, then you get the liberation by voidness. Having reached the seventh jhana level, if you contemplate that it is suffering, you reach this desireless one. Having reached the seventh jhana, if you contemplate that it is impermanent, then you will go into the signless liberation. Those are three dimensions. So it's all got to do with impermanent nature, suffering nature, and the not self nature. Wherever the level you are applying that one. So you're reaching the highest level. So those are the liberations. So there are the other jhana liberations, but these are the best one that leading to the Nibbana. So in this particular case, he has attained those immaterial attainment, go to the Arupa Dhyana, and then from the wisdom, he sees that all these things are not mine. They are impermanent nature, suffering nature. So he released by wisdom, wisdom and well as the this one. So he's released both ways. Bhikkhu who is released through wisdom, bhikkhu a certain person does not experience those immaterial attainment with the body. Seen with wisdom, his desire are destroyed. To this one, he said, released through wisdom, bhikkhu to such a one. Two, I do not say by diligently. What is the reason? They have done it diligently and it is impossible that they be negligent. So, you can see over here that he got the wisdom. He did not go into the fifth, sixth, seventh and all those arupa jhana. But he went to the fourth jhana. He had to go to the fourth jhana level. Because you see the samma samadhi, the right concentration has got those four. So that he when you disregard these material things are not mine, whatever hard all those things, then you reach this fourth jhana level. The mind become pure and he got the wisdom. And so the method could be different to attain that one. You know, so the first one may be the samatha meditation, concentration meditation. The second one may be you are following the insight meditation, like the Eightfold Path, and then attain those. Bhikkhu who witnessed with the body, bhikkhu a certain person experiences those immaterial attainment with the body. Some of his desires are destroyed. Seen with wisdom, bhikkhu, this one is a body witness. To this bhikkhu, I say there is something to be done diligently. What is the reason, bhikkhu? This one, partaking of suitable dwellings, associating good friends, and with development of his faculties, for whatever reason, the son of a clansman left the household and became homeless. That highest end of the holy life, he here and now would realize and abide. Seeing these results of diligence, I tell this bhikkhu to be diligent. So here we have another word called body witness. So what is this body witness? He experienced those immaterial attainment. So when he experienced immaterial attainment, that is space is infinite, consciousness is finite, those are only the name part, you know, the nama rupa, the mental content, that feeling. There is this form content. Now, having attained those levels, he is touching those name content, that is this feeling, perception, volition, contact, and the attention. So, having known those things, so he touches those things because he is aware of those things. And so, that is, this body is the mental body, not the, it's called name body, not the normal body. So that is the body witness. So that person hasn't finished the job yet. Still more to do. So that include persons who attain up to never return. Bhikkhu, who is the person, come to righteousness of view. Here bhikkhu, a certain person, does not experience those immaterial attainments with the body. Seen with wisdom, some of his desires are destroyed. Through wisdom, he sees the teaching of the thus gone one and behaves accordingly. Bhikkhu, to this one, he said, come to righteousness of view. To this bhikkhu I say, there is something to be done diligently. What is the reason, bhikkhu? This one, partaking of suitable dwellings, associating good friends, and with the development of his faculties. For whatever reason, this son of a clansman left the household and became homeless. The highest end of whole life, he here and now would realize and abide, seeing these good results of diligence. I tell this bhikkhu to be diligent. So, This previous one we call Kaya Sakti, and this one is called Ditti Patho. Ditti Patho. You got the view, righteousness of view. And so stream enters, once returns, that whoever got this, basically the stream enters going to this category. Bhikkhu, who is the person releasing faith? Here Bhikkhu, a certain person, does not experience those immaterial attainment with the body. And seen with wisdom, some of his desires are destroyed. His faith in the scorned one is thoroughly established, well-rooted. To this one is said releasing faith. So because of the faith, one can get released. You see, the faith is a really big thing. If you contemplate impermanence, what you get is the faith. If you contemplate about the suffering, what you get is the concentration. So if you contemplate about the not-self, you get the wisdom. So that's how these things are going. And faith can take you to the highest level as well. One can become an arahant in that sense.
Just see faith. But you got to have the wisdom before.
For example, Venerable Sariputta, in the Diganaka Sutta, he was fanning the Buddha. And Buddha gave a discourse to Diganaka. Diganaka became stream mentor. At that time, Venerable Sariputta thought that Buddha is saying this one, having known he is saying this one, so that the faith arose and he became an arahant. But his faculty of wisdom and all those things previously developed in previous births as well, and as well as this birth, because he became a stream enterer before in the same birth. So,
and again, when you have the faith, it is easy to develop the wisdom too. When you don't have the faith, you try to see whether this is correct or incorrect.
Yes. So you can see that you got to have the both developed. Yeah. Unless you have the wisdom, you don't see the faith as well. You don't get the faith because you don't value what Buddha is telling. So both are paying back. So that is the Saddha Vimutto, releasing faith. And Bhikkhu, who is the person living according to the teaching? Here Bhikkhu, a certain person, does not experience those immaterial attainment with the body. His desires are not destroyed, not seen with wisdom. He is convinced in the teaching of the Thus Gone One to a certain extent by wisely thinking of it. Yet to him there are the faculties of faith, effort, mindfulness, concentration and wisdom. To this one he said, living according to the teaching. To this Bhikkhu too, I say, there is something to be done diligently. What is the reason, Bhikkhu? This one, partaking of suitable dwelling, associating good friends, and with the development of his faculties, for whatever reason, this clansman left the household and became homeless, that highest end of the whole life he here and now would realize and abide. Seeing these good results for diligence, I tell this Bhikkhu to be diligent. So this person is Dhamma Anusari, and you see, that person have not attained. He has not destroyed these things. He is not a stream enterer. But here his faculties are developed. This person is also not going to the hell. You know that the hell, animal realm and all those things, at least for the next birth, he is not going to go down if these faculties are developed in this way. And the seventh one, Bhikkhu, who is the person living according to faith? Bhikkhu, a certain one, does not experience the immaterial attainment with the body. His desires are not destroyed, not seen with wisdom. He has some faith and love for the Thus Gone One. Yet to him there are the faculties of faith, effort, mindfulness, concentration and wisdom. So for that person also Buddha saying, abide diligently and so he can attain. So this is the Saddha Anusari. So the word over here, that the faith and love for Buddha is the prema. Prema, the prema in Sinhala. That is the word Buddha used over there. So that person is also not going to the hell or animal realm, that one. At least if you have that one in the next realm, next birth, at least you are not going to go down. If you keep on maintaining them, well then one can attain. So, Bhikkhu, I do not convince of perfection right at the beginning. It is a gradual ascent, you see, with the gradual training, action and follow-up. Bhikkhu, how does the conviction of perfection come about with gradual training? I mean, this is a really good statement over here. So many are actually thinking that you can't attain being in the household life and so on. So Buddha is saying, you know, you can do it. It's a gradual development. You can't do these things at once. So now Buddha saying about the gradual training and action following up, because someone approaches when faith is born. Then he associates. Associating lends ear. Listening bears the teaching. Bearing the teaching, examine the meaning, some conviction arises. Pleased with the conviction, an interest arises for the teaching. With interest, there is effort. With that effort, there is weighing. Weighing realizes the highest truth with the body and wise penetrates it. So this one, Buddha said in another discourse, is called Chanki Sutta. I think the 95th discourse in middle length saying. So what Buddha says is, if you have the faith, you approach. If there is no faith, no one is going to anyone. We are not going to go to the Buddha or the temple or these discussions or whatever thing it is. So when we approach, then drawing close, we come close and then we lend ear, we listen. And then we hear Dhamma. When we hear Dhamma, we remember Dhamma. That is also very important. When you remember Dhamma, we test the meaning. Well, this is right, this is wrong. And then we reflect on it and approve of things. I mean, you see, this is applicable to household life as well. First, you people in the house, you know, discuss certain things, and then they approve. Everybody approve. Yes, we will do it that way, you know, sort of thing. So approval thing. After approving, then the desire is born. Chanda, the desire is born after the approval. If you don't approve, you know, even let's say you are going to buy a car or something, you know, everybody approved at this car, this color, this sort of thing. And then the desire is there, otherwise it's not there. So, and then they put effort. So, you know, it's actually utsaha in Sinhala, vara. And then weighing things up. That is that we scrutinize it and then we see that, well, this one is, if you are buying something, or well, the car is rusty or there is a durability, all those things, you know, that like that, whatever thing approve, that we do examine it thoroughly. And then the striving. We need to earn money or whatever thing to get the car and all sort of thing. Likewise, that over here also that... well, I approve this Dhamma, that this is right, that it attainment of this higher concentration is a good one. So then we put striving. That is called pradana. This effort to discard the evil that has arisen, effort to prevent unarising evil and so on. So, and then because of that one, there is this attainment of truth. So, and because without faith, there is no approach. Without the approach, there is no association. Without association, there is no lending ear. Without lending ear, there is no listening. Without listening, the teaching is not born in the mind. Without bearing the teaching, there is no examining of the meaning. Without an examination, there is no conviction. Without a conviction, there is no interest. Without an interest, there is no effort. Without effort, there is no discrimination. Without discrimination, there is no weighing. Without weighing, there is no confrontation. Those gone astray are on the wrong track, because the foolish not interested in the dispensation of teaching. How far have they strayed? See that if they are not have no interest over here, then people are going astray like dogs, you know, this way, that way, and so because there is an explanation given with the four lines through which the wise learn the meaning quickly. Explain it, Bhikkhu. Do you know it? Venerable Sir, do we know the teaching to explain? Bhikkhu, if a teacher honors materiality, leaves a materiality heritage, abide engrossing materiality, these doings and non-doings occur to him. This is to us. We will do that. This is not to us. We will not do that. You see that Buddha is not leaving up certain things. Buddha is saying that, okay, that not only robe you can have, you know, the properties sort of things, right? This sort of properties is fine. So then the monks will have the confusion as well. Okay, so this site of properties is for us and this type of property is not for us, sort of thing. But since Buddha has given up everything, there's no such confusion either, that everything to be given up. No appreciation of the materiality at all. And Bhikkhu, if the Dasgona one abides unyoked from all materiality to the disciple, with faith in the dispensation of the teaching, penetration into the teaching is lawfulness. The Blessed One is the teacher, we his disciples. The Blessed One knows, we do not know. Bhikkhu, to the disciple with faith in the dispensation of the teacher, the essentials for growth and penetration into the teaching are there. Bhikkhu, to the disciple with faith in the dispensation of the teacher, the penetration of teaching is lawful. Let skin, nerves and bones remain. Let the body dry up with the flesh and blood, that which should be attained by manly strength, manly effort and manly power should be attained. I will not give up the inner effort without attaining it. Bhikkhu, to the disciple with faith in the dispensation of the teacher, yoke to penetration, one to these results could be expected, either perfection here and now, or with substratum remaining mindfulness of not returning. So that's what Buddha said, and the monks were delighted. So you can see that this last part of the para is that's what Buddha used at the final moment of attainment. You know, he sat down on that underneath tree, I will not get up from this place unless I become the Buddha. Let the skin and everything become dry, and you know that one has to develop that quality for a long time to say that one and do. And I can say that there was one discourse where Arahant and Venerable Ananda was there as well. Venerable Ananda was not an Arahant by that time. So Venerable Sariputta, Revata, Venerable Mahakashyapa and Venerable Anuruddha, all were there. And then they were asking, who will, make this the forest brighter or whatever, you know, that shining. And then everybody is saying in terms of their attainment, that who is actually having the wisdom. Venerable Sariputta explaining that one, and Venerable Ananda is explaining in terms of knowing the Dhamma, because he heard the Dhamma. And Venerable Mugdalan from the psychic powers sort of thing. And then they all went to the Buddha and asked, and then Buddha said that everyone is correct. And whoever doing this one, that's how he attained. That one is he said that that's how one would shine. You know, that I'll sit down over here. I will not get out of this one until I attain. That is the really big thing. You see that I don't think other than Buddha anyone can do it, because that's sort of strength to, if you say it, you have to do it. Right? So you sit down over there until you attain, when you don't get up. So that's a very, very strong statement over there. So it's a nice discourse, starting with the food and completely to the Nibbana.
And that's one reason that you cannot continuously meditate, because you think about food.
Yes. Yeah, our stomach become, grumbling and sort of thing. You get out of that one and, after 2 hours or something like that. Yes. Yeah, but they did it. We are too much to food and material things. That's one reason that these days, because they are being promoted all the time, from the TV, advertisement, officers and everywhere. What we are talking about, materiality. Who is talking about the mentality? The development of the mind, the mental exercise, all the physical exercise. So we have the gyms and all those things, but nothing to do with the mental exercises and the mental development.
Because people cannot get out of that, because it's like a chain. Because you got a body, so you have to maintain, so you have to get a job. And then to go to the job, you have to get the clothes or whatever, so there's no end of that. So it's going around and around.
Part and parcel of the life. It has gone up to that level, so that's why it is hard to get out of in this time, and it is becoming more and more hard. And so then the disasters will occur. Shall we stop for today?